Today I'm going to give you context to one of the programs that we have. It's called Abraços, which translates to hugs, and it's a family literacy program for Spanish-speaking and health promotion program for Spanish-speaking women and their children. And before I go on, I'd like to acknowledge the director of the Hispanic Health Initiatives, Dr. Deborah Williamson, who's here today. I have no relationships to disclose. So Abraços is a partnership between the Hispanic Health Initiatives and the Charleston County School District. The main mission of the Hispanic Health Initiatives is to improve the health and well-being of the Latino population in South Carolina. We are funded through the Charleston County School District and HRSA, Health Resources and Services Administration. And today I'm just gonna go over some of the goals of the program, why it came into existence, some of the activities, and some of the key findings that we found. So there's three main goals of the program. The first is to increase school readiness of three-year-old children. We test the children when they enter the program in September and again in May to not only measure their progress, but to screen them for any kind of developmental delays. The second goal is to improve the English language skills of the women. So the women will end up having over 360 hours of English classes. And while they're in their English ESL classes, the children are in the preschool classes. And the last goal, which I coordinate, is to improve the health literacy of women through weekly health promotion activities. And I'll explain that a little further in the presentation. So why did we start Abraços? South Carolina is known as a new settlement state. Starting in the early 90s, we had a large increase in the Hispanic population. In 2008, it was either the first or second state with the highest increase percentage-wise in the Hispanic population. The population that has been coming is a very young population, mainly from rural parts of Central America. And so what we found is that, or what the school district found, is a lot of children were entering into the schools and they weren't on the same playing field as their white and black peers. So we got together in 2005 and South Carolina is a little different in that there's not too much of an emphasis on early education in South Carolina. About 39% of children participate in early education programs, and most of those are black and white children. So we started this partnership to address the school readiness in Hispanic children in 2005. The College of Nursing, with the Hispanic Health Initiatives, along with the Charleston County School District, a local faith-based organization, and a literacy organization came together. We began a pilot project in 2006. We started on a very small scale with a very small budget. We started with 8 women. Throughout that year, each partner applied for more grants, and we received more funding in 2007 for another 2 years. But most recently in 2009, the Charleston County School District received stimulus funds, and we were able to expand the program greatly and also move into the schools. So Abraços today serves 32 Spanish-speaking women and their 3- and 4-year-old children. We have one director, we have one certified preschool teacher that is an English-only teacher, and then we have a bilingual preschool teacher's aide. We also have a nursery care for, a lot of the women have children that are under 3 years old, so we have 2 nursery care teachers. We have 2 ESOL teachers, and we have a health promotion coordinator. We operate on a yearly budget of close to around $106,000. The majority of that goes to personnel, but also education materials, testing materials, and so forth. So what do our participants look like? 100% of our participants live in North Charleston, South Carolina. I'd like to differentiate North Charleston from Charleston, which some of you may have heard of before. North Charleston has about a 25% poverty rate. It's a very diverse population with about 50% African American, 43% white, and about 7% Latino. 95% of our women live below the poverty level. 95% of the women are from Mexico. 98% of the children are born in the US. And most of the women have been here on average about 6 years. And the average level of education is 5th grade or less. So looking at some of the activities we do, the program operates 4 days a week, but we have 2 different groups of 16 Spanish-speaking women in each group. We run Tuesday, Thursday, and Wednesday, Friday. As I said earlier, while the women are in the English classes, the children are in preschool. However, 1 day a week, the mothers go into the preschool class with the children. not only to find out about what the children are learning, but also to learn ways that they can bring different teaching ideas to their own homes. The other day that they have, I come in and we have a health promotion series. These are just several of the different topics that we cover. But basically, in the beginning of the year, I break the women into small groups and ask them what health topics they'd like to learn. Based on those results, I'm able to kind of design the program content, and then I invite community experts to come in and share the information. We put a strong emphasis on reproductive health, as well as active living, healthy eating, and then more recently have incorporated a series of parenting classes into this segment. We also do health screenings at the beginning of the year. Oh, and it's important to mention that all of this is in Spanish. If the person that comes to share the information doesn't speak Spanish, then I interpret for them. And it's very informal. We don't have PowerPoints or anything. We have lots of handouts and lots of interactive activities we do. The second part, we do health screenings. So we check blood pressure, glucose, cholesterol, and if they choose, they can also be screened for HIV at that time. We also make referrals for health and social services, and this is a big one. A lot of times it's just for to go to the clinic for contraceptives, or it could be for any kind of preventative care. The social services kind of run the gamut. It could be from anything from helping a mother sign her child up to receive Medicaid, or helping her with different immigration problems that she may be having. We measure the progress in a number of different ways. The women complete health behavior surveys at the beginning and the end of the year. We have focus groups to address the social support. And they also fill out surveys throughout the year on different health content and the overall program operations. We keep track of the number of referrals we've made. And then as far as the developmental evaluations, we do use the best test for the women, for their English. And we do that, as I said before, in the beginning and the end. We do the Bracken School Readiness Assessments with the children, and we do that in English and in Spanish. And then we have the expressive vocabulary tests that we use. So we've seen some significant progress related to both the health and the literacy of the women. As far as the literacy, as you can see, 100% of the women have increased their English proficiency level in listening and speaking skills between 1 and 3 levels. And that's by the end of the program. For the kind of another thing, a success that we've seen is that we've been able to bridge the women with needed health services. So an example of that is 95% have had a pap smear within the last 2 years. And then lastly, one of the unintended results that we found is that the participants meet outside of class and ask each other for advice and share information they learn with others. And to me, I think this is one of the most important aspects of the program. Most of the women that enter the program don't know each other before they enter. None of them, so far since I've been there, have any parents that live in the country with them. And most of them, they usually have a husband and children, but they lead pretty isolated lives. So it's really neat to see kind of these friendship forms throughout the year. Some of the questions we may ask in some of the focus groups we do are, have you changed your thoughts or behavior based on something you've learned? So some of the responses may be, I leave the kitchen when I'm fighting with my husband. I now check my breast for lumps. I know how to protect my children from violence. When we ask them what services they use as a result of this information, a health clinic is a big one, both for contraception, but also just for general health checks. The public library, in the beginning of the year, I take all the women to the library. We get library cards, have a tour of the library, and then throughout the year, really encourage them to use the service that's available to them. The family literacy program and the mental health department, either for them or for their family members, is a service that a lot of them didn't know was available to them. For the children, some of the key findings, 100% are up to date on vaccinations. They have to be up to date to enter the program. Well, we give them 2 weeks, but within that time, we help them arrange appointments if they need to, or help or connect them with a medical home. So we make sure that they can enter into the program. 100% of the eligible children enroll into CD4. CD4 means child development for 4-year-olds. At the school that we're currently at, there's 6 child development programs, but they fill up really quickly. So we make sure that they get into it. And if they don't, they can come back the next year with their 4-year-old child. In the last 2 years, 80% of the children have shown an improvement in English development tests, and we have made 5 referrals for developmental testing, and that's in the beginning of this year as well as last year. As we look forward, we'd like to expand the program to other Title I schools. Title I school means that a large percentage of the students come from low-income families. The school that we're in right now, over 90% of the children qualify for free or reduced lunch. We like to implement long-term evaluation plan. We'd really like to track the children throughout the rest of their years at the public schools. We'd like to enhance the evaluation of social support. We'd like to increase interactive learning strategies to improve the health literacy of the women. We'd really like to get out in the community more with the women, which can be difficult mainly due to transportation, but and then of course always expand our funding opportunities. And then I'd just like to acknowledge Trident Literacy Association and Midland Park Ministries, who helped us to develop this program. And thank you.